Unit 9. A Preface to Murder. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. Sometimes life deals us a bad hand. Sometimes it is hard to go on. Sometimes evil triumphs over good. Nancy sighed heavily as she pulled her daughter's diary from the drawer. She leaned forward to examine the familiar writing. A postcard with a colored sketch fell onto the floor from the book. The drawing was a picture of a long, curved sandy beach on a tropical island. Of course it would be Monster Rat. She felt clumsy as she knelt to retrieve the picture. Under no circumstances could she forgive or forget the criminals who tortured her beautiful Megan. It was difficult not to feel bitter about the events of the preceding year. She grabbed a tissue to wipe away the tears that came to her eyes. She had shed so many in the past year since her daughter's murder. Nancy recognized that she was suffering from psychological problems and had really become indifferent to the events in her daily life. She began to shake and then to weep. When would there be an answer to this damn nightmare? Megan had attended secondary school at a private girls' school 500 kilometers from home. In junior school, she had been a straight-A student. Now in high school, she continued to study hard, play sports, join the school orchestra, plus a variety of school clubs. As a joke, her friends labeled her a genius, often just to make her angry. As well as being a high academic achiever, she had a great capacity for fun. She thrived on an active social life. Slender, pretty, and vivacious, she was the apple of her parents' eye. Every year, in accordance with school policy, a student candidate was chosen to travel and live in another Commonwealth country for 6 months, as Megan had an interest in a diplomatic career after completing university. She figured she would be considered a prime applicant if she applied for the position. A detailed essay was necessary to provide the committee with a clear idea of her intention. The section committee would spend a fortnight reviewing the applications in an attempt to identify the ideal student. Megan also needed to undergo a rigorous personal interview, which would validate her academic background and evaluate her general behavior. The interview proceeded well, Megan taking the initiative to underline her strengths. After school, some of her friends gathered for coffee in the cafe near the school. They confessed to Megan that they were rather envious of the opportunity she might have to live in another country. They inquired about the details of the interview. 2 weeks later, Megan received a phone call notifying her of the successful results of the interview. Her parents were slightly nervous, experiencing some negative feelings about Megan leaving the safety of home to live in another country. They knew the experience would broaden her horizon. However, her destination, Montserrat, within the past year, had a huge volcano erupt, disrupting people's lives. Unstable conditions, loss of homes, and fear of more eruptions all tended to breed trouble among the poor of the island. Her parents' concerns were for Megan's safety. Departure day dawned clear and bright. Farewells were made to family and friends, and she was off for the adventure of a lifetime. Megan's arrival on Montserrat was both welcoming and initially uneventful. The island family, where she was to live for the next 6 months, made her feel right at home. As the pace of life on the island was more relaxed than at home, she was very happy. Her new schoolmates included her in their lives, and she adapted quickly. Swimming in the warm ocean water and sitting underneath waving palm trees in a mild climate was a pleasant change from the cold northern winters. One Saturday evening, a gang of kids pile into a taxi, heading off for a barbecue on the beach, Some of the girls decided to walk along the beach. Megan joined them. Lagging slightly behind, she knew she ought to hurry to catch up, but the moist sand felt good under her feet. Water lapped at her toes. The tide was coming in. The violet light of dusk began to darken the sky. In the growing darkness, a van pulled up alongside her, stopping with a squeal of brakes. Before she knew what was happening, two masked men leapt out of the car and began to chase her, grabbing her and finally throwing her to the ground. The gross attack that followed was brutal and unexplainable. Initially, Megan tried to fight off her attackers by clawing at their faces with her nails. Using a coil of rope to bind her hands, the men were free to proceed. First, a fist broke the upper jaw, leaving her unconscious. Then, the hoodlums used a metal rod to crush Megan's skull, and finally a knife blade penetrated her neck, piercing an artery. After the crude act was completed, her body was bundled into the back of a cab and discarded in a ditch in an isolated district far from the beach. Realizing that Megan had disappeared, her friends dialed an emergency number, notifying the authorities of the situation. Once Megan's body was discovered, a warrant was issued for the immediate arrest of the two wanted men. Megan's parents were notified by the embassy. They, in turn, retained legal counsel, and an intense inquiry began into the case. Those officials, with an intimate knowledge of the island, felt that the mugging was a case of mistaken identification and a complete misunderstanding, a misguided outlet for mounting frustrations on the island. Megan's parents, Nancy and Don, canceled all their immediate plans and flew to the island. Rather than wait for the small island ship to transport them to the island, they were flown in by helicopter. After hiring a lawyer as an advocate for their cause, they began to work with the local police, tracking down any angle of the case that would bring these creeps first to court and then to trial before a jury, who in turn would convict them to lengthy jail sentences. As the days slipped by without any answers, they experienced severe emotional fatigue and life became a living hell. The investigation seemed to lag at first, but they were reluctant to interfere. The initial reports from this mess were inconclusive, many of the details not being addressed. As paying clients, they lodged a complaint with the governor of the island. After several months passed, the authorities had a frank discussion with Megan's parents, stating that as each day passed, they were less and less liable to solve the murder. They cited other examples of unsolved cases and encouraged Nancy and Don to return home. Feeling both annoyed and frustrated, they decided they had done all they could here for the moment.
Once at home again,
Nancy withdrew from community life, choosing to spend her time alone. These days, if you went looking, you could often find Don in a local pub having a pint or two of beer. He, too, is unable to come to terms with the sequence of events that tore his family apart this year. Just thinking about Megan brings a lump to his throat and makes his head spin. As time passed, it was becoming more and more evident that the stack of paperwork pertaining to his daughter's case was not going to provide any answers immediately, if ever. Tips provided by the public proved to lead nowhere. The records will remain open until the case is solved. However, for the moment, the natural rhythm of life has been destroyed. Can a family withstand such a tragedy? Only time will tell.